Welcome to Mike M's Weekly Reads 252. So here I am, and we're going to go over some recent purchases. This is a first appearance. It's Amazing Spider-Man 101. Can you guess who the first appearance of that is? Well, it's Morbius. I finally got a copy of one that wasn't a reprint. This is an original. It's not a great copy. I would say it's a 3.5. It looks great. Like, if you see it, it actually looks like a 6.0 on in Mylar, but Mylar makes everything look wonderful. So we got a Hanna-Barbera Dynamite from Mar Dino Dynamite Dynamut. What the fuck am I singing? Like, it's not good times. Dynamite. It's Dynamut. This is Blue Falcon and Dynamut. This is issue 3. We have a Huckleberry Hound number 1 from Marvel Comics. I've been trying to get all these Marvel Comics Hanna-Barbera things. We got a Star Comics Foofer, TV's new favorite star. Never saw an episode, never read a comic. I got a st from Star Comics Thundercats number 12. Another Kiwi. It is a beautiful copy. This is probably a fine, very fine copy of Tomb of Dracula number 1, the very first appearance of Marvel's Dracula. Very happy to get that into my collection. Now I just need the blade, and then I could start working on, all the rest of them. But you've heard over the last few episodes that I've been working on Tomb of Dracula, and I'm getting pretty close. We have X-Men 49. Let's see if this is a reprint. It is not. And it's the first appearance of Mesmero and Polaris and Lorna Dane. So this is a big one. And the Origin of the Beast. This is X-Men 49, really nice copy. I'd say a 6.0, 6.5. We got number 53. Let's see what that is. 53 is the Origin of the Beast again versus Blastar. Barry Windsor-Smith's first comic book art. That is fucking badass. I did not know that. And that's written by Arnold Drake and has Barry Windsor-Smith cover. That explains why somebody was tweeting me some Barry Windsor-Smith art, and I didn't know what he was. Goes to show I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, especially with these X-Men comics. I've told you in the past that I had no X-Men growing up. When they were around 60 cents, my brother was collecting X-Men, and I was not. So my brother and I tried to get different titles. I've always been a Defenders and Champions guy in Fantastic Four, and he would get like a lot of the mutant books. We have X-Men 55, really nice cover. This is probably a Barry Windsor Smith cover again, and this is by Roy Thomas and Don Heck. It's the second appearance of Alex Summers, and the second appearance of the Living Pharaoh, and the Origin of Havoc, Origin of the Angel. So that's a pretty cool thing. We have 57. That is the first appearance of the Mark II Sentinels, and the first appearance of Larry Trask, and the first appearance of Judge Chalmers. So this is a Sentinels on the cover, and it's number 57, and that's by Roy Thomas, Linda Feit, and Neil Adams is the artist, along with Werner Roth. The cover art is by Neil Adams. This one I do know without looking up. I've been searching it for a while now, but it's the first appearance of Sunfire, the Origin of Sunfire. And it's X-Men number 64. And that's by Roy Thomas and Don Heck with a Sal Buscema cover. So this is a big, big lot of comics here that has some key first appearances. Morbius, Dracula, and Sunfire. And the first appearance of Barry Windsor Smith art in a Marvel comic. How about that? I didn't even know I had that. Sometimes you get some happy surprises when you start looking in your database and you didn't know what they were. But Adventure Comics 341. This is a Legion of Superheroes story. I picked that up. It's got Colossal Boy on the cover, Sun Boy, and Superboy. And that's 341. And that's the first appearance of Dual Damsel, one of my favorites. So, Star Boy's on the cover too. It's got Colossal Boy smashing two robot tanks. Have you gone mad, Colossal Boy? You're killing your comrades, Star Boy and Sun Boy. You're next, Superboy. Even though you think you're invulnerable, then the entire Legion dies. It's 0 hour for the Legions when they face Colossal Boy's one-man war. We have a House of Mystery with Martian Manhunter. This is number 148. We have a House of Mystery. This is the horror stuff, a 217. It's got like a tree eating a young boy with his sister looking on, or maybe it's his girlfriend. A House of Mystery, number 223, with a boy and a girl playing with a ship and a sea monster coming out of the water on the pier to attack them. We have House of Mystery, 100-page giant, number 226. This has Kane, like, inside of his cape as the stories. There's one called The Perfect Mate, The Garden of Evil, and Out of This World. 8 more chilling fear fables and a tour of the House of Mystery. An extra Kane's Games. We have a dollar comic House of Mystery. I love these dollar comics, these 80 pagers. Oh my God. And if I could have a whole collection of every 80 pager, I'd be... Especially during this time of DC, I'd be really happy. But it's got a monster coming over a guy. 8 terrifying tales to chill your spine. A pinup poster on the house. This is another dollar comic. House of Mystery 254. Looks like there's a bunch of sea creatures inside of a tank. Wait, please come back. Did that thing eat my daddy? The scientists don't know, Danny. They just don't know. Looks like they're in a museum. It's so weird. House of Secrets. It's another mummy cover. I love it. Love it. Love it. 108, House of Secrets. I got Plop number 4. My brother had almost a full run of these, and now I'm starting to get some. Very creepy shit. And a humor book. Strange Adventures number 189. A guy. It looks like they're on a carousel riding a bunch of creepy monsters with a dungeon master controlling the speed of the ride. We got Superboy number 162. This looks like a man saying, Crypto, what are you barking at, Superboy? Because he knows that the real Superboy, I am, Dad, but I can't get free of this trap. The Super Phantom of Smallville. Superman's Girlfriend, number 89. This has a guy that looks like two guys proposing. Superman's proposing, or she's wishing that he's proposing to her. And another blonde guy. Lois, dear, I'm rich and famous. Marry me, and I'll buy you every jewel in this store as a wedding gift. And she's thinking to herself, if it was only Superman kneeling there proposing, but I'm a fool to keep hoping. I'll marry Lance. He will make me happy. Tired of seeing Lois waste her best years waiting to become Mrs. Superman? Well, you're doing something about it. Read Lois Lane's Last Chance. We got another Superman's Girlfriend, Lois Lane, number 98. This looks like a Samson and Delilah thing. She says, "See, Superman, with these magic spheres, I can even cut your invulnerable hair." Lois, no, you've been duped. Me and, like Delilah did Samson, you've robbed me of my superpowers. By cutting his hair. Who would have known? Not only kryptonite, but you could cut Superman's hair. Especially in the 90s when he had that, like, long-ass hair. Superman number 115. Lois, good Lord, what's happened to her? And it looks like she had typed on her typewriter, "My Death" by Lois Lane. Plus, the Thorn battles the computer crooks. She was sometimes a backup story. We got a Tomahawk number 115. Guys with the cannon firing a cannon at a fire demon. The cannonball's melting. How are we going to stop Tomahawk from setting the whole frontier ablaze? I guess that's Tomahawk that's on fire. We got Tomahawk number 127 from Out of the Wilderness Thunders. Death is a one-eyed owl. He looks like he fell into a hole trap with a woman. We got Weird War Tales number 68. Monsters Fight Mankind's War. Special issue. Ratira the Dinosaur Weapon plus the Death of Charlie Gollum. We got another Bongo comic. The Ill-Fated Romance Comics number 1. Patty and Selma. And I think this is Selma. She's looking in on her sister, and she's saying, "Holy jumping Moses, Selma's new lover is Maggie's husband, Homer Simpson." And Penthouse Comics, this is number 24, I think. And during this time, they had a magazine size and a comic book size one, and this is a comic book size one. So I'll be back with some more weekly reads and something else, but I'm recording these early because I wanted to go over my purchases. So take care, and we'll talk to you soon. Hello, and I'm back for some more Mike M's Weekly Reads. I just went over some recent purchases, and I am going to be talking about some questions now. So in order to do that, I am going to go to my bookmarks on Twitter. See what I got. I think I only have one here. Yeah, this is from Dallow Spicer. "Enjoyed Tales from the Comic Store on Geek Brunch. Hopefully we'll get more of that." What he's talking about is I actually worked at a comic book store for about 4 hours because the one guy that helps with the pools and stuff got a job somewhere else. And then he has another guy that helps out with that, but he couldn't make it because he has another job where he drives cars to other states, and he was on one of those missions. So I ended up pulling it, and I talked about it on Geek Brunch in detail, but I did get injured on the job. I was breaking down boxes from the new shipment, and I didn't cut myself with the knife or the X-Acto knife. I cut myself on cardboard, and it was a thin cut near my nail on my thumb, and it wouldn't stop bleeding. And of course he didn't have any band-aids or anything, so I wrapped it in toilet paper and scotch tape until I was like, no, I need to go home and get this taken care of. But I then helped him with some pulls, and that's cool, you know. I like doing that. It's interesting to see what people are pulling, and there's a lot of people that get his variant covers, and it's a big part of his business. So it's insightful to see that he orders a lot of books just to sell that 1 in 100 and the 1 in 50 and the 1 in 20 and the 1 in 10, and get stuck with a lot of matter. And the one part of the aspect I didn't like was I felt very uncomfortable. He was like, grade these books like as soon as they come out and tell me what's damaged. And like, to me, none of them are damaged. But then I saw what he was showing me examples, and I'm like, whatever, you know, like, that's ridiculous. I didn't think of those as damages. I know the anal retentive person that's going to get something slabbed would, but it's still a 9.0 or higher. So I come from the era of spinner racks, and those fuckers were bent over so you could see what the next book was on the spinner rack. And I didn't care. I just wanted to read the story. And yes, I like to keep my books in good shape, but you know, anything is a 6.0 or higher is really good shape. So, and then if you get a really, you know, VG of something really old, then it's, you know, you're in good shape. So I like, that's the part of the comic thing I didn't like. It was nice though, getting my books. I don't get a lot of books there, but I do get like, you know, $40 to $50 a week there. Most of my bulk comes in DCBS, but it was very nice to get that, all my books for free. And I would do it again if he ever needed it. And I was off. I just happened to get out early that day. And there was a lot of things I was looking at, and it's like, man, I would like to automate this for you if I had time, software wise, because he still does stuff very manually, and I can make that like a click of a button, you know, just coding it up, put a back end database and spewing it out every week, but and then matching it against the invoices that come in. But yeah, future thing, and one thing to look at, like if I still want to get a small amount of books when I retire, that's an option, you know, if he's still there. he's almost a decade older than me, but I don't know, like, I don't know if I'll retire, and the plan is to retire in 5 years, but I don't know. It all depends. And this healthcare business is just what really is keeping me from not retiring. They statistically, I was reading that if you're married, during the course of your retirement, so let's say if you retired at 63 or 65, that the medical expenses for you and your spouse going forward will reach in the $600,000 mark. So you at least need to have that. Plus, you got to live and eat and all that other shit. So and that's just medical. That doesn't consider, like, if you have to put yourself in some kind of care or, you know, and that's an average. So the average person is going to spend $600,000 on medical expenses between the ages of 65 and death. So, oh my God, that's a lot. Yeah. But his question wasn't about how I worked at the comic store, because I talked about that in grave detail on Geek Brunch. His question is, you said you're not as sensitive to defects as some customers. If you did have a Mike M's Collectibles, then how would you grade Near Mint books? Oh, that's easy. Even when I sold my stuff on eBay, I always graded stuff a grade lower. Especially if it's being sent through mail. Just and so far, I haven't sold a lot of books. I've sold maybe like 15 in my lifetime, and they were duplicates. But so far, I've never been given a review or anything bad or contacted saying, you've graded this wrong. So, yeah. In person, I might go over a book with them and say, this is what I think is a 9.0. I wouldn't grade anything above a 9.0, just in general, 'cause that's like fucking pristine, and unless it's a cardstock cover, I wouldn't even try to do that. So I hope that answers your question, and that's the piece of thing that I hate about the industry is grading. Like, I don't mind grading like out of my Overstreet, but I'm not a CGC grader, and I don't even think they're fair. I've heard some horror stories, and then they've creased their stuff inside of the plastic and graded stuff a 9.9 all of a sudden, and there weren't no 9.9s, and now there's a slew of them, and there's just like all kinds of crazy fucking shenanigans by them. And what you really want in that case is consistency, you know? It's all you can ask for. So I hope that answers your question, Dallo. I am going to some more questions from Drew. He sent me a list at email. You can send me questions at Mike Myers, Myers Brunch, Brunch, at gmail.com. And I'm gonna tackle two or three of these. That way, I have some questions for the next episode. What are your predictions for the future of comic book industry? I think as we go more and more into the future, and I think this answers your second question, how do you think the comic book landscape will change in the next decade? I think the new generation prefers manga, and I think the superhero stuff and the traditional comic format that we enjoy today is going to get less and less prevalent. As the audience ages and dies out. And then the other thing that's going to change is people will pay for more digital or webtoons or whatever they're doing. Because I think the younger generations are more willing to read something on a digital platform. So that's what I think it, and I think that comic stores will exist, but the only ones that will exist are the ones that have that are more like antique stores that sell toys and all kinds of other stuff and old stuff and new stuff and there'll still be new stuff, but I think there's going to be less of it. At least that's what I think. And who knows, you know? So I think that answers question one and two. What are your predictions for the future of the comic book industry? How do you think the comic book landscape? I still think there'll be people that like records and like some of the retro stuff that will seek to buy comic books. And I still think that key appearances and other stuff are going to be of value. I don't think short-term spec will be anything in the future. It'll all be long-term. That's my opinion. Been around for a couple decades. I've seen the ups and downs. But I do think we're heading towards a less and less fan base. I mean, there'll always be the collectors that don't even care about the comic books. They'll always be that, I think. and the slabbing will still exist and all of that. He asked, what are your theories about the next big crossover event in Marvel and DC? I think that crossover events should be fewer and far between. That way they're more meaningful. But I think your theories on... I don't really have a lot. I just... Bloodhunt ended, you know, and that's leading to... Doom as the Sorcerer Supreme. So we'll see how that goes. That could be like Doom against the world, or Doctor Strange will become Sorcerer Supreme again. So as far as events going forward, I think they're going to build up Doom for the Fantastic Four movie, played by Robert Downey Jr. And in comics, I think they're going to build his character up. In the DC universe, I think they're going to spawn that absolute thing. And I think they're going to try to get excitement in the regular universe as well with the All In. But I think it's going to be a short-term gain and not a long-term. In other words, I think the excitement's going to be there for absolute. But I don't think it's going to last longer than a year. I mean, I think the line will last a couple of years, but I don't think they're going to see the success that they had, Marvel had with the first Ultimate line. So, if those are the two events that you're, the big crossover events that you're seeing, I'm curious what the Venom War will be, even though I'm not participating in it. The only book I'm buying that's tangentially related are the books that I'm already getting in Venom. Just the proper title. And I do feel that I'm missing out a lot of the story. But as soon as that comes to the app, I am going to read that thing from beginning to end. And probably reread the couple of Venom issues that I have. Your fourth question is, which characters are due for a major comeback in comics? Phantom Stranger. Oh my God, I miss him. I wish there would be, you know, Phantom Stranger and you throw Dr. 13 in there, the skeptic. Oh God, I would freaking love that. And the fact that he's more biblical now, you know, he's Judas, makes things really, really interesting in heaven and hell and religion aspects. I would love a comeback of Phantom Stranger. I think a good Creeper would be really good to see. I always like a Jack Ryder Creeper. I would love to see him back. They're due a traditional Sergeant Rock comic book. World War II Sergeant Rock comic book would be great. A traditional Jonah Hex comic book would be wonderful. Would love that as a comeback. Marvel seems to keep their stuff going, at least for most characters, more so than DC. It's like, if it's not Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, and Wonder Woman, and Flash, the other ones are just, you know, they come and go. Justice League was coming back. So we'll see that coming out of Absolute Power. Justice Society is coming back, but they look a lot like Infinity Inc. There's going to be a new Question series, but I prefer the... As much as I love Renee Montoya, I preferred Renee Montoya as a cop as opposed to the Question. I'd rather have my Vic Sage. But I will read any question that you throw at me. And I think there's a miniseries coming back. I would love a Captain Atom comic book. Oh, man, I would love for that to come back. His title in the 90s was wonderful, 80s and 90s. And then the title that even in New 52 it was great, and I'm waiting for more Captain Atom. Blue Beetle, I would love to see him. Any of the Charlton characters, Nightshade, Blue Beetle, Captain Atom, Question, Freedom Fighters. Oh my God, I would love to see them. That's my favorite superhero team in the DC universe. Like, if I could get Uncle Sam, Doll Man, Phantom Lady, the Human Bomb, Black Condor, the Ray, I would be in heaven. I mean, absolute heaven. You can even throw in Plastic Man because he's been in there sometimes. Fantastic. On the Marvel side, I can't think of any because, man, they put out a lot of characters. I mean, it just. Like, you always have a Fantastic Four book. You always have an Avengers. You have an X-Men. I can't think of any. A Quasar book would be good. I miss Quasar. A Punisher book has been missing since the Aaron run went out. I mean, I know we're seeing him in Get Fury, but. The way the Aaron run ended, oh man, I would like to see them come out of that and see how they can write themselves out creatively. Would love to see a Punisher back. Sergeant Fury in the Howling Commandos, that would be fun, but again, it has to be World War II. Yeah, I hope that answers your question, and I got through four questions, and I'll save. I'm gonna make my note. Start with question five, and I wanna encourage you to send more questions, and I'll be right back with the weekly reads. I'm gonna try to get through 1 week, before my wife gets here, but man, it's gonna be cutting it close. So, I'll be right back. All right, I'm gonna attempt this. I'm gonna go over what I watched. The 3 out of 5 was One More Shot. That was an action adventure about a terrorist act in an airport, kind of like a Die Hard situation. It was good enough for me to look for One Shot, which is the prequel to this one. At least with the character. The 4 out of 5s were Cobra Kai Part 1 of the latest season. Finished that on Netflix. Was really good. Army of the Dead. A rewatch because I watched the one above it, Army of Thieves. Army of Thieves is a heist one that's far more superior than Army of the Dead, which is a zombie one. It's a zombie heist one with one of the same characters that's in Army of Thieves, the Safecracker. Really good. Those are both Netflix. Check them out if you can. At the theater, I gave Deadpool and Wolverine a 4 out of 5. I enjoyed it immensely. The 5 out of 5 was Land of Bad. That was a Netflix. Man, the Netflix direct to Netflix movies, action ones, have been like top fucking notch lately. They've been really good. Well, Land of Bad actually was at the theater. That wasn't a direct to Netflix, but I saw it on Netflix. That was at the theater. I don't think it did good at the theater, but it was really good. The comics read total 23, one Xenoscope, one Scout, 9 Marvel, 2 Image, 2 IDW, 2 DC, 2 Blood Moon, 1 American Mythology, 3 Antarctic. We'll start with the 4 out of 5s. Most of them are 4 out of 5s, but there are some 5 out of 5s. We got Planet Comics 40 through 42. A lot of different stories. We had Dominion Jack, Catnip, Rhino Boom, Fat Girl, and Canadian Sentinel. Sentinel. That doesn't sound like exciting comics. Planet Comics. This sounds like exciting comics. So I'm going to change that. Exciting. This is the superhero stuff. Exciting comics. My favorite was Fat Girl. That was really entertaining. Rhino Boom was also really great. I expected to like Catnip because that's a big dog. He ain't coming to Antarctic, but man, it was a wordy bitch. And I couldn't get into it. Blood Squad 7, number one. This felt like a Tom Clancy story mixed with Youngblood. I enjoyed it. It has so much more potential if the writing was a little bit better, but it's like a incorporating the 90s in comics into present day. It's really entertaining. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Free Comic Book Day 2024. It had a Night Watcher and a story where Splinter sends kids off so he can entertain himself with their hobbies such as pizza and video games and other things. Night Watcher was fantastic, and I've already read issue number one. It's really good. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Alpha number one. Donatello is in a hostile type of environment and tries to break out. Kicks off Monster Island, which is a mutant safe island, and a scientist becomes a spider. So this is the free comic. Oh no, this is the Alpha. It wasn't Free Comic Book Day, but it was basically a preview of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Jason Aaron, and Mutant World. We have Forceworks 18 through 20, Avengers 393, 394, War Machine 21, 22, Iron Man 323, 324. I'll do some of the synopsis. The Wasp comes out of her cacophony after Tony is killed. Now she actually looks like a physical Wasp. Nude attacks the Avengers and almost defeats them, and a woman reveals herself to be Luna. Oh, the woman in the future. War Machine 21-22, Iron Man versus War Machine. It's Iron Man versus War Machine. Iron Man gets away. Iron Man now killed the Forceworks PR person. Sentry defeats Cybermancer. Forceworks shows up at their base. Iron Man 323 through 324, Forceworks number 19. Also, there's one more Marvel. I'm going to give myself 10 and then crease that to 24 red. No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. So I got to decrease that, make it 9 and 23 red. Now everyone knows Tony killed Manila. That is the babysitter of Luna. And Yellow Jacket and almost killed Jan. And almost killed Hank. And did kill Gilgamesh. At least Newt killed Gilgamesh. Is Kang, Mantis, and Madam Mask behind it? War Machine faces off against Tony. This is the order, because Wasp still is in her cocoon. Moonraker, Sentry, Crystal, and Vision invade Stark's compound, only to be turned away by Marlene's telepathy. Moonraker captured by Kang and Mantis. Mask joins the Avengers. So Kang is manipulating Tony. Tony is responsible for the murders. So that's the crossing. Destro number one. Destro attacks the third world leader, so now he can use it as a hub for arms deals. There is an arms convention when Destro is attacked by Tomax and Zamot. Bambi, Pooh versus Bambi, Pooh and Piglet escape to stop Kanga and Roo from spreading a mutation to humanity. They have a fight with Tigger. It looks like Eeyore is going to be the next villain in the follow-on series. Action Comics 1066. Superman family teams up with Lobo and Lex to take Brainiac Queen and an army. It also had a backup feature that had Lex and Lena history story, which was really good. And this Brainiac Queen part and the Lex and Lena story are very important for the Absolute Power, because it sort of was leading into Absolute Power. Just like the fail-safe Batman was leading into it and the Wonder Woman. So the 5 out of 5s were Devil Tree 3 and 4. This is from Blood Moon. This is a boyfriend and girlfriend kill each other under the tree, and a fisherman frames his wife for murders under the tree and knocks a cop out and kills his wife. And then later he's arrested. This has some truth to it if you read the back matter. And the author actually spent time under this tree. It's supposed to be like a murder tree. And he claims he heard and saw a lot of weird stuff under this tree. And he wrote this fiction called The Devil Tree around this. I thought this was the end of The Devil Tree, but the way Devil Tree 4 ended, it sounded like there was going to be another series, but I don't think it has ever been solicited, and I'm very skeptic if there's going to be a second one. But I tried to find the guy on Twitter, and I didn't have much luck. He's there, but he's a private Twitter guy, so I can't like IM him or anything to ask him if there's going to be a follow-up, because I sure would like it. We have Silent Night, Deadly Night, number 1. This is a 5 out of 5. Who would have thunk it? From American Mythology. I have watched some of the movies, but this comic book was just top-notch, and it was nuts. It was a man working for a crime boss, turns into a murderer protecting his girlfriend, who was a prostitute. But he was working for the mob boss. He owes him a lot of money and was committing crimes for him. He kills a Santa Claus and then goes on a murder spree in the Santa Claus costume. Later, he gets framed for murder based on his criminal activities working for the mob boss. And he turns evidence against his boss, the mob boss, and goes under witness protection. Later finds his ex-girlfriend when caught for prostitution ring, and she throws him under the bus, so he puts on a Santa suit to fight the FBI. I just thought this comic book was nuts, and it was like fast-paced, and a lot happened in one issue, and it was very I have no idea if one of the movies is like this, but if it was like this, I would love this movie. Little Piggy, number 1, is by a friend, Sean Gabarin, and I'm not rating it a 5 of 5 because he's a friend, but is really he's always had a knack for writing horror, and he used to write a comic book. This was around Comic Geek Speak time, early at the when they had a super show. I met Sean Gabarin and his wife. His wife draws and he writes. And he was doing Short Stack, which is like 2 to 3 page short stories of horror. And he was really talented. I was like, man, you really accomplished a lot in these like short amount of pages. And later on, he went to Action Lab and did some Puppet Master. And he's done a lot of creative or comics books, but I haven't been able to follow what publishers they're under or if they were self-published. And they're always in the horror genre, but now he's at Scout. And they had canceled this one and then resolicited. And now it seems to be coming out again because it seems like Scout was in trouble, and then I think they're trying to find their way out, I hope. But I hope Little Piggy finishes. It's about this introvert kid that you sort of feel sorry for because he's being bullied. There's one girl at the school that pays attention to him, and he really, really likes her. But she just thinks of him as a friend. Well, anyway, her family is going camping, and so the father is taking this boy out hunting so he can learn to hunt. They end up in the same place, but you find out this father and the boy are werewolves, and they basically capture this family, And it consists of like a 5-year-old girl, a 13-year-old girl, and a mother and father. They tie them all up. They tell him what they're going to do. But he says, "You're going to have, this is a rite of passage for my son. I am going to release you, and I have hidden weapons out in the forest, and hopefully you'll find them. But after we count to, a couple minutes, we're going after you to kill you." And they put these little piggy masks on all of the family, and they go hunt them. And it was really creepy. The pace was good, and it was a good introduction because you really felt sympathetic for this little kid. And then you find out he's a fucking werewolf. It turns things around 180 degrees. It is amazing. So the 5 out of 5s for that week were Deviltry 3 and 4 from Blood Moon, Silent Night, Deadly Night number 1 from American Mythology, and Little Piggy. So all horror books were the 5 out of 5. So crazy and cool. And I want to thank Dallo and Drew for sending questions. I will continue with the fifth question from Drew. And you can send me questions too at Twitter or Blue Sky at Mike Myers Brunch. And Myers is spelled Myers, and then brunch is just brunch. And you can also send me email at MikeMyersBrunch@gmail.com. And send questions that way. And you can find this podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, any feed catchers, under DC Noise Podcast. Click the like button on Facebook and you'll be able to follow the episode threads there as well. And thank you for listening. And we'll be back hopefully after Baltimore Comic Con to do another episode. So thanks for listening and peace out and read more comics.